With that, I'm going to bring up somebody who I call my boy wonder. This guy is nonstop truth and activism, and he is just an inspiration to all of us, as well as everybody in his age group, which is the college age group. And we need to grow that part of our movement, and the signs are that it will be happening. These guys are ready to put the colleges into motion, the college campuses. So please welcome Luke Rutkowski.
How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
All right. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Really appreciate it. I just wanted to bring up a couple of my friends up tonight. Kevin McPadden was a medic. My friend Craig Bartmer, NYPD. And my friend David Miller, who was a National Guardsman. Now, these guys are not only my friends, they're like brothers to me. And I'm not just saying that for the cameras. I sincerely mean that. You guys truly are everything. Now, these men risked their lives on 9/11, saving people that they didn't even know. They didn't know these people. It could have been any one of us in the Twin Towers, in the rubble, and these guys would have still got us out. Right? These first responders are unsung heroes, and they deserve respect. Many people ask me, why am I involved in this organization? Why do I do what I do? And my answer is, seeing my friend David Miller cough up blood when I'm talking to him is enough inspiration. This is why I'm active. This is what I do, because of people like David Miller. My friends were knowingly lied to on 9/11 about the air quality, and they deserve respect and justice. And hopefully tonight we'll get a little bit of that. Right? Many skeptics and many people who are against the 9/11 truth movement say that we offend the firefighters, offend the first responders, offend the police officers. These people are on our side. They know what's going on. Everybody, please give a huge round of applause for my good friend, David Miller.
My name's David Miller, and I'm a veteran of the 69th Infantry Battalion, 42nd Division, New York Army National Guard. I served from 1985 until 2001 in the 42nd Division, 10th Mountain Division, and the 102nd Medical Battalion. I was decorated, deployed in various capacities, earned several occupational specialty qualifications, and rose to the rank of an E5, a buck sergeant. There's nothing special, even really very interesting, about my service record. I went to St. John's University, a working-class college in Queens, and worked as a counselor while taking odd jobs in contracting throughout my hometown of the Bronx, which, unlike social work, paid well. I had dreams of helping to rebuild the South Bronx, where I'd grown up, to physically restore the neighborhood and with it the essential sense of community we'd lost in the 70s and 80s to the drug wars, to neglect, to all the things that made that part of our community a blight. There was nothing special about any of that either. And like kids from my community, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer, and occasionally some extra duty or training, I went off to the National Guard. That's how you got into college. That's how you could pay for school. That's how you got out of the ghetto. That's what the Guard was to me. On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero. No one asked us, no orders were given. We went because our city, our country, our neighbors were under attack. And we knew what to do, or at least we thought we did. I came home 10 days later. I won't tell you about the vivid images of Ground Zero. There's no need to. If you were there, you know. If you weren't there, there's no need to talk about it. I want to tell you tonight about the people we call heroes, about the people in front of you, about the people you've read about in the newspaper for the past week who were invisible for the past 5 years, about the people who we applauded and put up banners for and wrote songs about and put into music videos and put movies on about and forgot about, that they were abandoned in their hour of greatest need and are still in growing numbers living in terrible physical and economic circumstances as they struggle with the carcinogenic effects of the toxic chemical soup Ground Zero became, that they still have the dignity and courage and even now fight like hell to save innocent lives, even as so many of us are dying. How many people in here live in New York City? Take a look at everybody with their hands up. If this room was full of rescue workers, I'd like to show you all something, but I need your cooperation. Will you help me? Can this side of the room, everybody, stand up? Everybody on this side, if you're all rescue workers, will be dead in 4 years. Thank you. You'd all be dead in 4 years. That's our statistics. That's what's happening. In 7 years, it doubles. This is what Mount Sinai proved in a 17,000-page study that's on the internet. You can read about it. I would like to tell you tonight about September 13th, 2001, about marching down the West Side Highway after we had taken 3 hours of food and sleep and showers and checkups at the Chelsea Piers by some incredible volunteers, by thousands of them, who had set up a kind of a release station for those of us who were working on the pile. And we, on September 13th, we marched back in groups of twos and threes at first, and then dozens until there must have been more than 200 of us, carrying ropes, ladders, tools of every kind, back into the smoke and the poison and rubble, where we reached an intersection with hundreds of civilians cheering us on. Our uniforms were torn and soiled. Our resolve was simple: to stay and dig as long as we had any hope to save anybody. I want to tell you about how sick so many of these brave men and women have become. How Dr. Thomas Frieden, the Commissioner of Health for New York, has done all he could for the past 5 years to further denigrate the sacrifice of our soldiers, firemen, police, EMTs, steel workers, all the first responders, by diminishing the clinical findings of his own coroner's office over and again, his own study, and the undeniable epidemiology of those who came to the city's rescue on that eternal day. I want to tell you about how the mayor refused to accept the fact that not dozens, not hundreds, but many thousands of us were contaminated, sickened, and poisoned by the most toxic combinations of building materials in the history of disaster relief. And that for 5 terrible years, he ignored that fact. That's not how you treat people the city considered heroes. Instead of all of these issues, I'll tell you about their use of language. They, being the media, for what passes for journalism in this era. Did anyone besides me thank God, the baby Jesus, and Santa for the incredible luck that the media, all four networks in New York, the leading papers across the country, and the internet, that all the media paid significant attention to the Mount Sinai study last week, rather than Paris Hilton's DWI or the latest Tom Cruise meltdown? That's, we finally got coverage worthy of this issue. It's only been 5 years. 5 years of our family members watching us drop dead. And every time Popular Mechanics calls the people of this movement nuts, these propagandists, professional liars and tools who cannot, even by any stretch of the imagination, be considered journalists, strike another nail into the coffin of another rescue worker. And every time Time magazine dismisses real, hard physical evidence that a new investigation needs to be launched into how concrete was pulverized. Every time Time magazine dismisses that evidence and instead writes a two-page article about the psychology of the conspiracy movement, they perpetuate this buildup of people in very, very coordinated efforts trying to take this movement apart. We who are still dying from 9/11, who went into the towers and into that pile, now live with those buildings in our lungs and digestive systems and our blood. And if you allow these scumbags to strip you and this movement of our legitimacy, you condemn first responders to death. So in closing, I'd like to put out a few points that I got, not reflective of the 9/11 movement or its board, if there is such a thing, just my own opinions from the Popular Mechanics book that I read over the past 2 days, which is a really good piece of fiction. They are sheep. Popular Mechanics says that we consider in the movement, people call people who aren't in the movement sheep. I would consider that valid. See, I know something about sheep. Sheep never conceive that the man who fills their grain bins will, without any afterthought one day, start cutting throats. We know what they did, they being the government. We know what they're capable of, and we know that they can do it again. Time magazine wants to separate us, marginalize us, in order to make discrediting the evidence we're presenting acceptable. And that's a threat to every one of us. We're now officially conspiracy nuts. Give yourself a round of applause. Time, U.S. News and World Report, Popular Mechanics have all said so. We're worse than Oliver Stone ever was with JFK. Worse than Spike Lee with that damn Katrina HBO special. Worse than that fat son of a bitch Michael Moore for suggesting Iraq is unjustifiable. And the Bush, Cheney, and Bin Laden families have all been incestuous with each other with wild disregard out in the open. Because sometimes that's the best place to hide. Loose change is more dangerous than anything they've ever encountered. In the words of a popular radio host, Michael Savage, who's really interesting to listen to since he's completely out of his mind, they're giving it away like the goddamn New Testament on a CD. How do you stop that? They can't hide the truth from forever from everyone, so they'll discredit it. And to do that first, you have to attack the character of the movement, the public perception of our individual psychological statuses as a whole group. And this is what Time magazine tried to do. Yes, you see their numbers will shrink, or at least they'll become stagnant. After all, for God's sakes, these people think they're a movement. It's obvious what happens next. They're radicals. They're undermining the war on terrorism. The Bush administration is just the worst liars, the most dramatically overt in their manipulations and deceit. They really don't give a crap if we see right through their schemes. Johnson, Nixon, Reagan, Bush, even Clinton tried to hide dirty laundry with the first establishment, though, of a genuine American dynasty. The dynasty that would have been established if maybe the Kennedys hadn't, for generation after generation, gotten blown away. See, now we're so delusional that we're comparing conspiracies. We understand the convolutions of empire in this room. How was the concrete pulverized? How was glass micronized into dust? And how was there molten steel? But a passport survived. What were those explosions reported by the FDNY? And why weren't the planes intercepted? And how did Hani Hanor learn to fly like that? I don't think we're crazy. Everyone in this administration had motive, intent, and opportunity. Conspiracies are only evidence the courts won't hear. We came to your rescue on 9/11. Now thousands of us and our families need you to come for 2 hours. For myself and far too many of us, research and the effective treatment's going to arrive far too late. I have double metastasizations in both lungs. That's just a reality. But remember the other side of this room that stood up. We're the canaries in the coal mine. Where did all that dust go? We were also killed on 9/11. Avenge us.